Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with Brian Min. Hello, Brian, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
It was so exciting to hear your personal story in the previous episode, and I'm so excited about this episode to know more about your ministries. You touched on a little bit about your past ministry experiences
right.
in the different churches. I would love to hear more about your past ministry experiences as well. So could you tell us about your prior ministry experiences?
Right. So I started ministry in 2011 at Hanmam Church in Durham, North Carolina, where I'm at right now. I think I was there about 3 years, and I was the youth pastor then. And so I spent a lot of time having fun with the students, getting to know them personally. And then my studies, after the 3 years there in the youth group, my studies took me to New York City. And so I was the assistant English ministry pastor, and I was the worship pastor there, and also the college young adult pastor mm-hmm. there in New York. And that was a different experience as well, having college young adults come to church and try to engage them. Mm-hmm. And it was much different ministering to people in New York than it was in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. People were busier. And given that it was New York City, the building spaces aren't as big. Mm-hmm. And so to find a time and place to meet or to do something was quite a challenge. And then I had the opportunity to serve at East Faith Presbyterian Church in Oakville, Canada, which is about 30-40 minutes away from Toronto, downtown Toronto. And that was different. As I said earlier, many of the members there were at most 1.5ers. And so ministering to 1.5ers as opposed to second gen mm-hmm. members was quite a transition. I think I ended up watching a lot more Korean dramas to figure out where they were. They would talk about all these dramas that they were watching, and I was like, I've never heard of it. So I ended up watching stuff, and I got to know them, and I think it made me maybe delve into Korean culture a little bit more. So I'm thankful for that, and now I'm back at Hanmam Church. Mm-hmm. So I was the English ministry pastor, and I've transitioned back into youth ministry mm-hmm. For the students at Hanmam. So we'll see how that goes. The transition only happened about a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. So it's still quite new.
Mm-hmm. Are you still watching some Korean K-drama?
Oh man, it is definitely a guilty pleasure. Korean dramas, I mean, once you get hooked on the first or mm-hmm. first couple episodes, you're addicted.
Right.
You always wonder how the story ends. Right. And I've been listening to Korean music, and I know K-pop has kind of gone global, but I prefer my ballads.
Yeah.
So, I can't believe I shared that, but yes.
Brian, we're in East Coast, but North Carolina is mm-hmm. technically more of a southeastern region
right.
than New York. But mm-hmm. I'm curious about the difference in culture, the second generation culture between New York and North Carolina. Did you see any differences between New York and North Carolina in terms of second generation culture in general?
Right. So I don't know how specific I can get, but one of the differences I noticed was that second generation Asian Americans in North Carolina mm-hmm. at the least seemed a little more conservative to mm-hmm. me. And I'm not just speaking politically, but the way they talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're playing a round of golf with a second gen Asian American, I don't hear them cursing for no reason. But in New York, that was the case. But moving maybe onto more important things, when it came to questioning some of the church's historical teachings, maybe mm-hmm. on something like gay marriage, mm-hmm. I found my second gen Asian Americans in New York City to be much more open to those kinds of things. And it wasn't because the churches were theologically or culturally different. They were both conservative, but the members and what they thought and how outspoken they were, there was certainly a difference between New York and North Carolina.
Now, Brian, how did you become involved in ministry at Hammam Church?
So in college, I went to NC State and I majored in political science. And as a student, I was a member at Hammam Church. And I remember I started taking religious studies courses at NC State near the end of my time in college. And I just fell in love with it. And so right after graduating, I just applied immediately to seminary and got accepted. And I think at the time, Hammam Church needed a youth pastor. So they brought me along. And that's how I got my start in ministry. And always thankful for that start. Especially doing youth ministry first. I think there were some mistakes made in the beginning portions of my ministry, but it was a good group to learn with and learn from. And so that's how I got my, that's how I became involved in ministry at Hammam.
What's your ministry vision?
My ministry vision is actually quite simple. I want the body of Christ to grow in Christ and in unity. And that unity part to me stands out because I think now more than ever, we are a people divided. Now, I mean, with all the polarization and politics going on, that's one thing, but I also notice people are spending much more time on their smartphones or watching Netflix. And so when it actually comes to face-to-face interactions, like we just don't have that much and we're not very good at it anymore. Like we almost lack those intuitive skills to engage people. And I'm noticing that maybe we're not as close as we should be as the body of Christ. And so I think my vision is for us to grow in Christ, but also in unity, that we can walk together, walk in step with one another as we live out our Christian lives.
Brian, can you share any exciting stories what God is doing at your ministry?
Exciting stories. Right now, I'm trying to take my kids to my youth kids. I have about 60 of them. And it surprises me how little they know about each other. So I recently made a bet with my youth group kids. And this is actually really exciting to me. That if they can name all the other youth group students, I'll take them out to eat. And I kid you not, my kids couldn't name more than 15 other students. And it was kind of embarrassing for them, I think. And so they've made this push to kind of try to know each other's names so that they can go out to eat. And I know it sounds a little elementary, but it's exciting to see people really take each other seriously in the body of Christ. It surprised me that they wouldn't know each other's names, even though they worship together, spend time together. And so I see God opening their hearts there and just interacting with the students. It's been a really good time. In the beginning, I tried playing basketball with the kids, and I actually had a hard time getting kids to play. And now it's slowly opening up and more kids are interacting with one another. And so I guess the bridges that we're building in their relationships is certainly exciting right now.
Wow, that's great. Last Saturday, I was preaching on love, the church family.
Right.
And then one of the realistic examples that I made was that we hear a lot in the church congregation that, oh, I love you, I pray for you. By the way, what's your name? Because a lot of people feel isolated, even among the church congregations. And but getting to know their names, I think it's like a first step.
Right,
to get to know, right.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And I mean, I think sometimes when we talk about loving each other at church, I think we think of these grand things like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, maybe I have to give up some of my possessions. Or, but I think most of the times it's something much simpler. Like you said, names, mm-hmm. or maybe just spending time together over a meal. Like I think those things are, I know it sounds very small, but I think now more than ever, like,
right.
I think that's how you really show love to a church member, someone that you worship with.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. Do you have any challenges you face or are facing at your ministry?
I think some of the challenges, I think serving at an Asian American church is that, especially as a second gener, so my Korean is good enough where it gets me into trouble. So I'm kind of, I've had to serve as the in-between for the English ministry and the Korean ministry. And sometimes the expectations that they have of one another, I think, are so different that I'm kind of caught in the middle sometimes and trying to wonder like how we're supposed to go in step with one another. And so I think those challenges, I think, always show up. And I think it's easy to let these differences shape the way we see one another, I think. And so I think that is definitely a challenge. And I think one of the bigger challenges facing the church.
Right. How does discipleship look like at your ministry?
So right now, so I do put a big focus on Bible study, to knowing who God is. And so right now, sometimes I feel like we push Christian living before we actually know who we worship, why we worship. And so with some of the members at my church, so I've done Bible study and we're about to start a book study on doctrine. And I kind of want them to understand how the church has historically thought about things. Not because I want my teachers to be smarter, but because I want them to know God more fully.
Right.
Like, for instance, like I've been married for a year and going on year and 4 months. And I think if you asked me to describe my wife and I start getting things wrong, like at a certain point, I'm talking about a different person if I get enough of those details wrong. And I think if we really say that we love God, then I think we should actually take the time to get to know Him. Right. And so right now I'm at the stage of just trying to teach my members who God is. And then I think we'll take that next step into how our lives should be shaped. But while we're doing all of that, I'm also trying really hard to build relationships between my members. I want them to know who they're worshiping with. I want them to know that, like, being part of the body of Christ, like, it's a special thing. And I remember, I think the word totus Christus, like, the whole body, what that basically implies is you never get the head without the body. And I think I just want my members to know that they have people they can pray with, sing with, play with. And so I think that's what I've been working on so far.
Great. How do you raise up team and leaders in ministry?
I think sometimes, I think when it comes to raising up teams and leaders, I think sometimes people are so afraid of putting themselves out there or committing a certain amount of time, or sometimes I think they lack this sort of confidence. So I think I've been trying to encourage people, but secondly, to let them know, like, this isn't like a performance where, like, you pass or fail based on how you do something. Like, we're willing to grow with you. And so there's this encouragement, but there's also this reminder, like, hey, like, this isn't like a one and done performance. We're here journeying with you. and like we're all trying to grow in step with one another. And so I think that's what I've been trying to emphasize with my leaders, and I've tried to empower them in those ways. And in terms of teams, I feel like once they begin developing this confidence, I think they naturally ask for help, and they start doing bigger and bigger things. And so I think that's how I've raised up my teams and leaders.
Wow. That's great. Brian, well, thank you so much for sharing your ministry. I'm looking forward to hearing your future vision for next generation Asian Americans.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.